Today on Real Life Radio.
When you're crying out to God, he may not say anything at all. He may say yes, he may say no. Whatever he says, he may speak to you from the word in your daily devotional reading of life. He's going to speak to you. And the thing that you're to understand always, Christian, is that it is founded upon love.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, the world is moving fast. Our culture's gone through some dramatic changes, and it's not for our good. But most of all, it's not good for our kids. The question is, can our children and grandchildren stand up against those who want nothing more than to eliminate their faith in the Lord? Sounds pretty daunting, doesn't it? But with the right guidance, the next generation can not only thrive in the face of cultural adversity, they can emerge as tomorrow's Christian leaders. It's why our current featured resource is a must-read. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, Ken is also the founder of the Creation Museum, and he knows the dangerous door that's been opened regarding the book of Genesis and how people are looking to compromise our Christian worldview. Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face the Giants is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, With Just One Word. You know, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us how Jesus is always asking us to come to him. See, Jesus' love, it never fails. Prophecies will fail and knowledge will fade away, but faith, hope, and love will endure. And the greatest of these is love. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that God's love cannot fail. It's not by chance, it's not by accident that he loves us. It's the very nature of God himself. Now with his message called With Just One Word, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
How do you hear things when God speaks to you? Do you hear them with the motive and with God's heart reaching out to you, rooted in love? Is that how you hear? Are you afraid of God because he's mean? Then you don't know the love of God. You don't know his nature. Does God and the concept of God terrify you? Then you don't know the nature of God. You have the History Channel version of God, or the Smithsonian Channel, or some book. Or maybe you've read Richard Dawkins' book and the God Delusion, and he paints this incredible rant about how nasty and mean the God of the Bible is. You can tell he's trying to take a swing at the God he doesn't believe in. But when I've looked at parts of that book, I've concluded that Richard Dawkins really truly believes in God very much so. He's got a real big axe to grind against this God, but he's missed his entire nature. He doesn't even know who he is. And this is a serious thing. How does God speak to you? How does God respond? How does God infuse his person into your life? The Bible says it's all based on the love of God. Now, listen to me. When I say that it's all based on the love of God, that is absolutely true. But don't think God to be some weakling. God is holy. And he's pure. He's just. But God is love. The other day, I was walking our two little dogs. They had been in the house all day long. We have two little, incredibly obedient little Yorkshire Terriers. They're amazing little things. They're totally born again. They're saved. These dogs love the Lord. One of them is old and one of them is young. And they had been in the house all day long. They won't go to the bathroom in the house. They'll just wait. You could see when you come home, you'd be gone 12, 13, 14 hours, and you come home, and they're just sitting by the door going, ooh, and they got a little sweat on their forehead. Let me out. And so I let them out, and we walked down the street a little bit, and as again, one is slower, one is faster, and I realized that about 30 feet to the right's the slower one, 30 feet to the left is the quicker one. And I saw my neighbor coming down the street, getting ready to pull into the driveway. And I realized, oh my goodness, if she pulls into the driveway, my little dog, the young one is too far out ahead. I can't get to her in time to rescue her. Because I had been saying, come here, come here. I was asking one, come to me now, because it's lagging behind. And the other one is, come back. And I'm going like this, look like a New York intersection police officer, going like this. And then the lady starts to pull in the driveway. And I yell to the little one, stop, stay, sit. And she just looked at me and she sat down. All 4 pounds of her sat down and looked in total terror. Stop right there. My words to her, where were they rooted? Love. I don't want the dog to get run over. 4 pound dog, 3,000 pound car, not good. Stop, stay, sit. Strong words. In this case, loud words because of distance. She stopped, she stayed, she sat. The car pulls up in the driveway. Everything's well. I had to scoop her up and pet her and yay, and make her okay. Everything's fine now. Okay. Listen. Everything, every time God speaks to you, remember that. Remember that always. He might say, stop, stay, sit. He might say, wait. Don't you hate that? When you're crying out to God, he may not say anything at all. He may say yes, he may say no. Whatever he says, he may speak to you from the word in your daily devotional reading of life. He's going to speak to you. And the thing that you're to understand always, Christian, is that it is founded upon love. So in our study right now, keep this in mind. We look at verse 8, love never fails. And I want you to circle the word love, agape, the love of God, the eternal, never changing, always consistent, forever love of God never fails. That very truth is awesome. Number one, for this reason, it originates in God himself. That love originates in God. This is an amazing thing. This thing about love, the origin of love, what even as humans, if we have the capacity, please follow along with me. It may be simplistic, it may be very basic, but just listen. If you and I have the capacity to love one another, if we care for each other, if we can care for animals, for crying out loud. How many of you have a dog? Raise your hand. Okay. Isn't it amazing? Don't repeat this, but wouldn't it be amazing if dogs were, if Christians were more like my dog? You know what I mean? If Christians were more like dogs sometimes, they're always forgiving. They're always, I don't know what kind of dog you have, but if my dog's amazing, your dogs are amazing. Think about this for a moment. If you and I can love an animal, what is it for you? Well, I love my snake. Well, good for you. You got a cat? Oh, my cat's wonderful. That's fantastic. If you can love these silly little things and care about them, if you can care about your mother, your father, your grandchild, brothers or sisters, friends or family, if you can do that, doesn't that fact speak alone just that regarding the very creative powers of God? If you and I can care for an animal, what about God caring for us? You say, well, I don't believe in God. Then how can you think straight? If you can have affection and care and compassion for an animal, something so far below you, something that is an animal, and you're not. You say, I don't believe in God, remember? But if you could, where does that come from? Do you have like a little thing next to your bladder? It's a little kind of thing that's shaped like a heart and it has compassion in it. These things come from God. These are God stamps on your life. And people try to argue, oh, well, that's not what it means. It means this. And in our evolutionary process, one day we woke up and we had compassion toward, oh, come on. It's God. And if God loves on the grandest of scales of what we hint and flirt about in the sense of loving one another, and ours is so temporal, God's is eternal, and it originates in him. The greatest display of love itself was the entire life of Christ. But that's not ceased to be exhibited today in our world. It didn't end when Jesus ascended back to heaven. God's love is being deposited upon all of our lives right here, right now, no matter who we might be or whatever we believe in. God's love is extended to us in this time of grace. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God." This is the love of God. This is not earthly love. This is not carnal love. This is the unconditional love of God. And that person knows God. Verse 8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And I want to just hover around verse 8 for a second there. That is a pretty powerful statement. Because listen, as people, if God has affected our lives, as the love of God has been experienced in our lives, then listen, we cannot help. Church, listen, we cannot help but extend love towards other people. We cannot help it. Why is that the case? We've been loved. Now, allow me to be very much to the point right now to get the point across. If today in our lives we are very self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed, and we honestly don't love anyone outside of me, myself, and I, then it is impossible for us to have experienced the love of God. Because no matter what you and I have had happen in our lives, no matter how bad we've been abused, how we've been rejected, how we've been bullied, how we've been treated, listen, no matter what, when we come to the knowledge that the eternal God, the creator of all things, loves you, and you're going to hear in a moment how it is an uncaused love. I'll explain in a moment. That he, out of his own volition, has chosen to love you. It's his will. It's his sovereignty. You can't do anything about that. It would by nature cause you then from that moment on, watch, listen, if I'm loved by God to this degree, and this love has originated with God, and he has deposited it upon my life, then I need not have to worry about me anymore. I now, Jesus said it this way, if a man dies to himself, he will find himself. This is the secret to Christian success. Forget about you. Because God cannot forget about you. And when you settle that, when you pick that up and set it over here, you get to wash your hands of you and be free to focus on others and live the life of Jesus. And the love of God will invade your life. Some of you are sitting here right now saying, "I don't believe it." You'll never believe it unless you're willing to try it. It takes you placing you into the hands of him who said he'll love you. And then he'll say to you, "Now I will love others through you." And when you begin to venture out and to love other people the way the Lord would have you to love them, there is this amazing, amazing life to be lived. Love originates with God, and all of God's children know that love. And if today you don't know if God loves you, why is that the case when the Bible says that you are to know his love, that he wants you to be loved, and you're to know his love? What would keep you from knowing that great love of God? He wants you to know it. He wants you to experience that love, to believe in his word. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, as we said a moment ago, that God is love. What an awesome statement that is. You cannot deny the grandeur of God and his love. You can argue with him, but you'll never win. Robert Jastrow, if you don't know who he is, I've read some of his stuff for many years now, actually, over the course of time. Robert Jastrow, let this impress you before I read you his quote. Robert Jastrow has a PhD in theoretical physics. He's the chairman of NASA's Lunar Exploration Committee. He's the chief of theoretical geophysics division for NASA. He's professor of geophysics at Columbia University. He's the director of NASA Goddard Space Center. This guy's no idiot. Robert Jastrow wrote this in his book, God and the Astronomers. Was it created by an all-knowing God, or did it just happen by chance? Quote, for the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries, all in this quest for the meaning of life. You cannot say that God does not exist unless you have never experienced love of any type. And I have not yet met a human being that has not known some form of love in this life. If it can be exhibited by a human, and God says, I made them and made us, and that he is the source of love, then that is a discovery and a quest that every human needs to pursue.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The next thing I want you to look at regarding this is that it emanates from God himself, that love never fails. And the reason why that's true is because, yes, it originates in him. Secondly, it emanates from him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested, revealed, made known, emanated out toward us, that God has sent his only Son, begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Watch this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation. Big word. He has sent his Son to be the sacrificial payment for a price that we cannot pay, our sins. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that great? That's good news. Jesus put it this way. The rich young ruler came running to him. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, but I want to highlight this portion. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said this, answering his inquiry about how does somebody inherit heaven? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, Jesus said, and that is true. And the second is like it. Wow. What is this? The second commandment that Jesus speaks about. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Allow me to be a little sarcastic here for a second. That's a huge statement. Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God made flesh, the personification of love in this world, makes an announcement. He says, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. You don't need to know it all. You read it all, love it all, become familiar with it all. But if you're a brand new Christian, you don't need to know it all. What you need to know right now is to love God. And if you love God, listen, if you love God, it's because you've experienced the love of God and you will turn around and you will love others. Yes. And here's the thing. I don't care if you are the first right reverend pastor so-and-so of the church of the whatsoevers. I don't care. I don't care if you sit in one of our local universities as a theologian and you are a doctorate of divinity. Boy, I tell you, with a title like that, I'd be scared to death to have that title. And you can separate all your theological Tweedledees from your Tweedledums. If you don't have love for people, you're nothing. I don't care how long your dad was a pastor, or if your mother played the organ, or that if you were a what, I don't care. is love emanating from your life? Do you understand in the end, we are not going to stand before God and go through a theological exam? Do you know that? Yes. There'll be no, okay, James, step forward here. Tell me right now, 1 Chronicles 26:3. Can you imagine? It's not going to happen. It will all be about love. Because God has shown us and taught us, and we cannot deny it, that from him emanates the love of God. Thirdly, under this point, we learn this about the love of God never failing, is that love abides with God. Love abides with God. It's his nature, this amazing love. Now watch this. I think this is exciting. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let me dissect this backwards. It makes sense to me more backwards. Look at, after the comma, see, love of God, comma, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Listen, that is a reference to the coming of the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Because the Lord is coming, keep yourselves in the love of God. This word keep means to anchor yourself, like to drop anchor, to be affixed to, sturdy, strong, holding on to, guarded, to guard your heart, to garrison your heart. Look, in the love of God. There's nothing here for me to get into, but can you imagine for a moment if I opened up this piano here and got inside of it and shut the lid? You would say, that poor man is in that piano. And that would be absolutely a fact. Listen, God has called you. God is speaking to you. God brings you into the family of God. God flirts with your soul and says, come to my son. Come to Christ. Have your sins forgiven. Know eternal life. And when you make that decision, listen, he reaches out to you and draws you. And in the same token, without any violation of his sovereignty, he places upon the human the responsibility to stay in Jesus, to stay in Christ. You staying in Christ doesn't keep you saved. He saves. You staying in Christ keeps you in fellowship with the eternal God, the God of love. Like a family. And when he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, this is an awesome declaration because you and I as a church, listen, I have jurisdiction over no other church on the planet. Thank God this church is too big as it is. But this one service, I can say this too. Based upon that scripture, my prayer for all of us is that the Lord might keep us all in the love of God by reminding us over and over again to commit ourselves to him. Because we can say, oh God, keep me in the love of God. Do you understand that? You can say, oh God, keep me in the love of God. And God would say, what, are you blind? Read my book. I just told you to keep yourself in the love of God. Oh God, keep me in the love of God. He's saying, what, are you deaf? I just told you, keep yourself in the love of God. Do you hear that? That is our response. He sovereignly calls us, but we are to responsibly respond. You don't make your commitment to Christ and then go on cruise for the rest of your life. You pursue the heart of God from this day forward forevermore. Regarding that, listen to what A.W. Tozer says. The impulse to pursue God originates with God. But the outworking of the impulse is our following hard after him. And all the time we are pursuing him, we are already in his hand. For that right hand upholdeth me. Psalm 63:8. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called With Just One Word. Thanks for spending some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series that's called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's very bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, I want to stop right now and just pray a very important prayer for the most important topic, and that is God's creation of the family. God loves the family. In fact, he's invited himself into his family, hasn't he? The Bible says he's adopted us into his family. And so I pray for your family. Listen, make your marriage work. Do everything you can to make sure that your parenting skills are educated and you get help from the Word of God. And there's a lot of great resources out there. But don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on your kids. Listen, don't give up on your wife. And don't give up on your husband. Make it work. It's God's will that as much as possible, make it work. So, Lord, we pray right now that you'd heal our homes by healing our relationships with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.